Lift up thy eyes round about and see. All these are gathered together, they are come to thee. Thy sons shall come from afar, and thy daughters shall rise up at thy side. These words are taken from the Old Testament book of Isaiah. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Your Excellency, Reverend Fathers, Mother Mary Bosco, sisters, seminarians, brothers, family, and friends. Today is a sad day for the congregation of St. Pius V and the Daughters of Mary, for we have lost our founder, our spiritual father, our guide, our good shepherd. Of course, it is a sublime sorrow based on supernatural hope. But nevertheless, our hearts are sad, and our Lord sympathizes with us in our grief. Yesterday, Bishop Sante gave a beautiful sermon on Long Island describing the life of Bishop Kelly, telling the story of his vocation, his fidelity to the Catholic faith, and his tremendous labor on behalf of souls. In particular, Bishop mentioned that Bishop Kelly founded the Daughters of Mary in 1984 and the Congregation of St. Pius V in 1996. These two congregations were established to continue the work which Bishop Kelly began. Like all religious congregations in the Church, the Congregation of St. Pius V and the Daughters of Mary have written rules or constitutions which govern the lives of the members. Bishop Kelly composed our constitutions, and they are a reflection of his own soul. Over and over again throughout our constitutions, Bishop Kelly wrote things such as, "Comforting and consoling the Sacred Heart is of such importance that the desire to do so must animate the daily lives of all the members." He also wrote, "No effort is to be spared in procuring love, honor, and glory for the Sacred Heart of Jesus." And again, our constitutions state, "May the sight of the Sacred Heart of Jesus in the breast of the crucified Christ inspire them with love and devotion so that they may perform all their actions for him and bear all sufferings and adversities in union with him." These statements and many more like them show us the spirit of our founder. His motivation, the thought always uppermost in his mind, was that love, honor, and reparation must be paid to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, which is the symbol of God's love for man. All of the priests and sisters can recall how every conversation with Bishop Kelly would turn at some point to God's great love for souls. No matter what the other topics of conversation, and Bishop Kelly was a great conversationalist, whether he was speaking about American history, the natural sciences, the situation in the Church, no matter what, Bishop Kelly would bring the conversation back to the love of God. And because this idea was always foremost in his mind throughout his life, and in particular his 50 years as a priest, no effort seemed too great when it came to procuring honor for the Sacred Heart. After his ordination by Archbishop Lefebvre in 1973, a young Father Kelly returned to America. He brought with him only an unbounded confidence in our Lord. With the help of his family and a number of dedicated lay people, he labored to build St. Pius V Chapel and school from the ground up. He traveled all over the country to offer Mass and to rekindle the faith in the hearts of Catholics, which the modernists had nearly extinguished. He received converts into the faith. He rectified marriages. He preached, baptized, provided spiritual direction to many souls, gave retreats across the country, and was at all times a true good shepherd to the faithful. But Bishop Kelly knew he had to build for the future too. It was not enough to provide for the faithful of his day. There must be priests and religious for the coming generations. With prudence and foresight, he established two congregations according to the mind of the Church through which we can serve God and spread devotion to the Sacred Heart. Bishop Kelly made it possible for us to pursue our vocations to the priesthood and the religious life. And he did this at great personal expense. The worries and cares of providing for us in the early days, both spiritually and materially, the countless hours spent researching and writing our constitutions, the pain and illness he patiently offered up to help us in our work. Bishop Kelly spent himself for each and every one of us. And no doubt our Lord used those sufferings to the benefit of our congregations. And I think we can have a firm hope that Bishop Kelly will continue to assist us from heaven because we are still his children. We are and will ever remain the fruit of his love for the Sacred Heart. In 2007, on the occasion of Bishop Santé's consecration to the episcopacy, Bishop Kelly said, referring to the Daughters of Mary in particular, he said, "They are a congregation of sisters who do so much good and who work so hard, who daily storm heaven with their prayers, who provide so much inspiration and joy. I can say for me, it is truly one of the things that through the course of my life brings me the greatest joy." The congregation of St. Pius V and the Daughters of Mary were his delight, because he knew we could give the Sacred Heart love and honor by our lives. But Bishop Kelly would never take credit for his tremendous efforts on our behalf. In his last days, as the priests, seminarians, brothers, and sisters visited him, many tried to thank him for all he had done, for spending himself on their behalf. But he directed it all to God and Our Lady. "Praise to Jesus Christ" was his only response to those words of thanks. As he grew weaker and weaker, it took great effort to say even these few words. And in fact, the last words he spoke where praise be Jesus and Mary. Our Lord once said that we were to learn of him, to be like him, meek and humble of heart. Humility and meekness were so characteristic of Bishop Kelly. He sincerely saw himself merely as an instrument in God's hands. I remember on one occasion when speaking to the priests and the seminarians, Bishop Kelly explained that God chooses the weak and the lowly. He said, God has chosen us, not in spite of our weakness, but precisely because of it. And if we are humble and docile in his hands, he can do great things with us like we want. Bishop Kelly had no doubt that someday God would use our congregations to do great things for the church and for souls. And thanks to his firm confidence in the goodness of the Sacred Heart, he was able to convey this hope to others. We are familiar with the account of what Bishop Mendez told Bishop Kelly at the time of his episcopal consecration. Bishop Mendez told Bishop Kelly very emphatically, "You must give the people hope. You must give the people hope." For 50 years as a priest and 30 years as a bishop, His Excellency was a source of hope and inspiration to us all. On a personal note, I can say that Bishop Kelly was always very encouraging to me in my duties. Over the past several years, I would call Bishop Kelly regularly to ask for advice and to give him updates on the congregation. Those conversations usually lasted about an hour, but what I found interesting was that they almost always ended on a note of encouragement and hope in God's grace and Our Lady's help. And I trust Bishop Kelly will continue to be a source of strength and encouragement to each one of us through the Spirit of our congregations and the words he has left us. In our constitutions, he says to us, "Have no confidence in yourself, but an unbounded confidence in the Sacred Heart." The Sacred Heart is a repository of graces, and your confidence is the key that opens it. Bishop Kelly knew this by experience. And furthermore, he goes on, "Let the members of the congregation fear nothing, for as true daughters of Mary and sons of the Immaculate Heart, they can have an absolute confidence in their good mother." We are to fear nothing, not temptations, not the crosses of our vocation, not even our own inadequacies. When I was appointed Superior General of the Congregation by His Excellency, I expressed a bit of trepidation at the thought of the responsibility he was placing on my shoulders. And I told Bishop I felt inadequate to the task at hand. I remember Bishop Kelly saying energetically, "I feel inadequate. I feel inadequate." This was very humble of him to say, especially in light of all he had accomplished in his life. Without him, there would be no St. Pius V Chapel in school. So many missions around the country would not exist. There would be no Daughters of Mary to teach or care for the sick. there would be no priests or brothers of the congregation of St. Pius V. And there would be, perhaps, many souls lost for all eternity. And yet Bishop Kelly never thought of himself as equal to the tasks he had to undertake. He confided in the Sacred Heart, trusted in the goodness of Our Lady, and attributed all success to them. He was zealous, but meek, courageous, but humble, daring, but prudent. He was on fire with a love for God and for souls, which, as he once wrote to us, the priests and the seminarians, is all that is necessary. And so, my dear fathers, brothers, seminarians, and sisters, although this is a sad time for our religious families, it is with courage and unbounded hope that we look forward to the future with whatever it may hold. As long as we stay true to the spirit of our founder, the spirit which Bishop Kelly lived himself each and every day, as long as we are faithful to the rule of life he has given us, we can be sure that we will walk in his footsteps and we will be the source of comfort to the Sacred Heart he always hoped we would be. In the 60th chapter of the book of Isaiah, the prophet describes the city of Jerusalem as a loving mother. The prophet, speaking to Jerusalem, says, "Lift up thy eyes round about and see. All these are gathered together. They are come to thee. Thy sons shall come from afar, and thy daughters shall rise up at thy side." Isaiah foretells how the children of this good mother will be multiplied and rise up about her. Similarly, we anticipate with confidence the sons and daughters who will be raised up by the side of our Father, Bishop Kelly. And in the meantime, we confide his soul to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, whom he so faithfully loved and served his entire life. Our Lord made many promises to St. Margaret Mary, whom he revealed to his Sacred Heart. He promised that those who practice this devotion will have their names indelibly written upon his heart, never to be blotted out. If that is so, what can we say of our Father, who spent himself entirely for that divine heart, and who founded two congregations dedicated to comforting and consoling the heart of God? Show Bishop Kelly your gratitude and love for him by your prayers for his soul, for that is all he would have requested. But also show him your great love by following in his footsteps, that is, by imitating the meek and humble heart of our suffering Savior. I will close now with these words of His Excellency. These words are taken from a sermon he wrote to the sisters on the feast of St. Margaret Mary, the Apostle of the Sacred Heart. And these words are an invitation to us, his children, to follow him to the wound in our Savior's side, where we may find sure access to that heart which has so loved man. Here is what Bishop Kelly wrote. We were created to love God, and that he is determined to have our love in particular. He gave us a special vocation to enable us to do this more easily. In a world that is too busy for God and too busy to make him the center of everything, you are called to give delight to the heart of Jesus. He desires our hearts. He desires our love. And he wants us to know this. What a privilege it is to be called, as you were called, to testify to men about the immense love that burns in the heart of Jesus for them. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.